Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're
best friends.
Best friends.
Best friends.
How are you, Joss?
You know, I'm hanging in during this time of quarantining and all the rest.
I have to say I'm lonely. I miss seeing people in person. I miss taking yoga classes. I miss grocery shopping the way I used to, where I'd meander through the aisles and say hi to all the little old ladies that I'm friends with. And, you know, just not have to worry about getting close to somebody, you know, like whether because I'm tall, you know, I often like get things on the high shelves when I go grocery shopping. Right.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
And I know, I don't think twice about it.
Yeah. You know,
if I see a lady with a baby, can I put your groceries in your car for you? I can't do that anymore. You know? Right. And it's such a part of my identity is being helpful. Cause I'm a middle child. And
yes. Right.
No, I'll do something for you if just you'll be nice to me.
I miss all of that too. Although I'm better being in the house than I think you are, I miss being spontaneous. Like, hey, let's go out and do this. And no, you have to really think about it all over again. And what I really, really resent, I will tell you what I resent about this quarantine. I watch movies that I love, you know, my old favorites.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them and I'm like, you could never do any of that now.
No, it's funny. Last night, McIrish and I watched a World War II movie, and it was about this village and they all come together like at harvest time. And I was thinking the same thing, like, oh, you know, we couldn't walk that close on that steep little path. Like someone would have to tumble down the hill.
You know? I know. I was watching Frasier reruns, and there is an episode where one of the characters has like a cold or the flu, and she sneezes into a tissue and then walks to the, and like does this, you know, wipes her nose with her sleeve and then walks to open the front door without washing her hands. And I was appalled.
I know.
I was just appalled.
Right. Yeah. I tell you, it's a different time for sure. But we're getting there, and friends are definitely helping. I have a standing date with a friend of mine who lives in Illinois. We have dinner together, the two of us, you know, eating in front of our screens and chatting. It's wonderful. I see you quite often on Zoom.
Yeah.
And
we Zoom away.
You know, and I have my kids, although dearest son is going back to college soon. So
is he really?
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about that.
I know.
I love that kid. Also, who will unload the dishwasher? Sorry. Joss was taking a sip of water.
I was taking a sip of water when she said that.
So we have an interesting letter this year with one of those eternal questions. So I shall read it.
Wonderful.
Dear ladies, I love hearing your podcast and think you ladies can understand my pain and give me a solution. Here is the story about my friend, Tanya, not her real name. Tanya and I are friends for 30 years. We were always there for each other since childhood, been through so many ups and downs and pulled ourselves together from shits. I mean, wrong BFs. I'm not sure what that means.
Bad boyfriends.
Okay, thank you. When we went abroad for our studies in different countries, we were still there for each other. Even though she was my best friend, there were times when it felt like she never understood me or my life at all. She is the daughter of a millionaire, super, super rich. And wow. I, a regular middle-class girl who knew hard work is inevitable for a decent life. I worked my ass off to get admitted to the best universities in India and Canada with full scholarships and got good jobs. She often made comments about me like, you pretend to be too serious about your studies or career, or why can't you just take a day off from work and go shopping with me? Or you want to move to Canada just for a better job? But with all the differences and laughs, we were still best friends. I don't remember when the distance started to grow. Maybe it's from her baby shower 5 years ago. She was having a baby shower back home in India, and I already moved to Canada by then, but I still wanted to give her something useful. So when I asked her what she needed, she asked for a $3,000 Gucci diaper bag.
So Kristen, I was hoping you would get me a $3,000 bag also for my birthday.
Noted. Okay.
Just letting you know.
Duly noted. I laughed very hard and said, no way is she getting that from me. My budget is $200. She spent 7 days to find things that cost $200 or less and kept saying she couldn't find anything. But then finally she found an Apple baby cam for $199. I bought it and sent it to her, but she didn't bother to let me know she received it. Not even a simple thank you. After a few days, she casually said how she doesn't really like when someone gives her a cheap gift.
Wow.
Okay, more on that later.
Yeah.
She said, if someone can't afford to give me a gift that I like, then they don't need to give any. I don't want them to waste their money on something that I won't use. You can guess what she gave me in my baby shower. LOL, nothing. She completely forgot. When I was planning to visit India with my 6-month-old and asked her what she needed for her kids, then she remembered she didn't give me any gifts and ordered a toy for my son. When I went to India in 2019, Tanya and I planned to go to another friend's house. She drove me and my son there, but when we were there, she started drinking. I politely reminded her a few times that she was supposed to drive me and my 6-month-old back home, but she didn't care and kept asking for more drinks. They were out after one bottle, good thing. Also, Tanya is a selfie and Instagram queen, takes and uploads everything she does or eats, takes photos with everyone she meets. Every day she has at least 10 see my amazing life type photos in her stories. Well, when she was with me and we were meeting after 5 years of not seeing each other, she didn't take any photos. And when I requested to take a group photo, she was not interested at all. She didn't even look at the camera, was busy with her phone. I was like, are you ashamed of your childhood friend now? After I came back from my trip, the distance grew even more. We rarely talked or chatted. It was always me texting her, and she was always busy and replied with one word like busy, dinner, or at movies, and never called back or replied. It was creating a lot of pain for me, so I asked one of our common and very good friends if she had any idea what was going on. But our common friend said, really? Tanya's always available to chat or talk to me. She also mentioned that she didn't think there's anything she's holding on about me because otherwise Tanya would have mentioned it to her. I get it. She has moved on with other better and closer friends. I just feel bad that she doesn't have any room in her life for me. It's like she's just not that into me anymore. Mm-hmm. I should mention that my husband met Tanya only a couple of times as we were living in Canada by then, and he's never been very fond of her. My husband thinks she only uses me when she needs me. I snapped at my husband saying he was overjudging without knowing her and our friendship. My issue now is this. She is clearly not interested to talk with me anymore, and I have many close friends other than her. But how can I get over this old friendship? I don't miss her anymore, but I just can't make peace with it in my mind. She is planning to move to Canada, and if she does, I know she will pretend like everything was always fine between us. I might embrace her with open arms, but should I? Thank you and love you both. Sorry for the long letter. Signed, Seeking Peace.
Wow. Wow.
Go ahead, Jess.
Okay. The short answer to much of this letter is your husband is right. sorry. You're right here. My husband thinks she only uses me when she needs me. It's kind of what it sounds like she's been doing for almost your whole friendship. I'm sorry to tell you this. I think she knew how much money you have and where you are in your life. And to ask you for a $3,000 Gucci bag.
A Gucci diaper bag. Like, I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Such a thing. Holy macaroni. Wow. And then you still spent $200 on her, which is a considerable amount of money for a baby shower gift.
For a normal person?
That's for a normal person?
Gift.
That's very generous. And then she had the temerity not even to thank you for it.
Or to say she'd rather receive nothing shows you exactly how materialistic she is. She's judging you by how much you spent and she found you wanting.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so bitchy and so mean that I would have dumped her then, if not many times before.
And to me, also, she didn't seem to respect the education that you were trying to get for yourself. You got into university in India and in Canada, and she said, you're too serious about your studies or career, or you're pretending to be too serious. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
And why can't you take a day off to go shopping with me?
Right.
But these are things that are important to you. And she didn't recognize that. I believe she actually didn't really care, because as your husband said, she only uses you when she needs you.
I would have loved it if she had said, if Tanya had said, you're working so hard, why don't you find a day where you can take off the day, or you have a free day, and let me treat you on a little shopping spree.
Perfect.
Right? No, that's perfect. What a very wealthy friend might do for her hardworking, harder scrabble friend. But that's right. Not what she said. Take a day off from work and go shopping with me. Like,
yeah.
Carry my bags, you know, or just watch me buy expensive things that you can't afford. There doesn't seem to be any generosity in her.
No.
And there doesn't seem to be, like, your job is to admire her.
Yes, I
your
agree.
Job is to be her audience. And the fact that she got drunk or was trying to get drunk when she was going to be driving you and your infant child home.
Yeah.
But that's not a friend. I mean, not only does she not care about you in many ways, she was willing to risk your life and your son's life. And I hope that you would have called an Uber or your relatives, yes, or walked home, because, you know, don't get in a car with someone who's been drinking. But right. I mean, that's just so horrible when you say, hey, Tanya, don't forget, you're the driver. And she doesn't even care. What is she saying to you? I don't care about you. I don't care about your son. I want to have a good time.
I agree. She seems to me very selfish and materialistic. And the fact that she hadn't seen you in 5 years and you made a trip to India, I'm assuming from Canada, and then did not even feature a moment in her Instagram story, I think it seems to me she's very concerned with how things look.
Yeah.
Right. And rather than, this is my best friend and I want to show the world that this is my best friend.
Right. Or even like, even better, putting social media and the phone away and saying like, let's catch up. I haven't seen you in 5 years. You know, let's just spend some time together, just you and me, rather than, you know, she's with posting her better things and look at my life, which is, you know, the horror and the obscenity of social media when people do that, when they say like, look at me having more and being better than you. Are you jealous of me? I'm an influencer, you know,
right.
I have everything and you should be inspired by me and my stuff and my hair and my lipstick and whatever it is. And it's, you know, I mean, social media has a lot of wonderful qualities as well, but when it's someone like Tanya, it's horrible. And, you know, I understand that, you know, you look at your childhood friend and you think, but we've known each other for so long, you know, but it doesn't mean you grew into people who would have been friends otherwise.
That is a really hard truth for a lot of people to see, because time in history makes us think that this bonds us. We're bonded because of this time in this history. But if you look at what you have in common, if you look at the values that you both hold dear, you might find that you really don't have anything in common, and that, but for this time in history, you wouldn't be friends at all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But for this time, but for the fifth grade birthday party where she threw up and I held her hair, but for the time that, you know, she was with me when I got my period for the first time.
Right.
You know, but now she's become this shallow, monstrous, unkind person. And you said she's moving to Canada and you think she's going to trot right into your arms. And you know what? I bet she is, because another way for her to use you. You're already established. You know, people, get me to know your people. And if you do that, she's going to keep on doing what she's always done, which is taking from you and leaving you behind.
Absolutely. 100%.
She'll swoop in, decide which of your friends she wants, decide like, oh, you live here? Well, I'm going to live in a better neighborhood, you know, and it will continue. I think you would be crazy to take her back. I think that, yes, as you say, she has shown you that she's not interested in you.
Right. She's shown you again and again and again. Yes.
You keep thinking, but we were friends when we were little, but we've known each other for 30 years, but you know, this isn't how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be friends forever. And I have been you. So mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about and I know your pain. And I think, you know, you look back at those times and you say, how could those have been fake? Mm-hmm. How could that? Those meant so much to me, but maybe they meant nothing to her. It's a horrible mm-hmm. thinking feeling where you realize mm-hmm. she was just in it for what she could gain from me.
Yeah.
I made her look better. I didn't judge her. I was always the shoulder she cried on, whatever it was. It was always what she needed from you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she's shown you again and again that you're not that important to her. And I'm sorry because you have other friends and they hopefully show you that you are important to them.
Right.
So taking her back would be bad for you. It would be bad for your kid. It'd be bad for marriage.
Yes.
You know, and those are the people who are more important. You don't want to model behavior for your son that says, I know she treats me like shit, but that's okay. I accept the shit that she throws my way. Or you don't want to teach your kid that that's where he should be with friends. And you don't want to be obsessing about her and her bitchiness to your husband all the time, because he doesn't want to hear about your lousy friend who's treated you poorly for all these years, you know?
Right. Because she has shown who she is and he has seen it in taking her at her word that this is who she is. He really doesn't want, he probably doesn't want to hear about it at all.
I had a friend who treated me badly and was definitely a user and, you know, only used me for like positioning herself in the public eye, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember one friend, another friend saying, I just don't get it. What do you see in her? Like, why do you go to the ends of the earth for her? And I was like, mm-hmm. because of that one weekend we had where we laughed so hard. Like I keep, like, there's still that, mm-hmm. that wasn't enough. That mm-hmm. did happen. It was really fun. And then it ended. And that's not enough to carry a friendship for mm-hmm. another 5 years or 2 months even, you know, you have to pay attention to the person she is and to the regard that she has for you, mm-hmm. which is to say she is a shallow, nasty, self-centered person and she has no regard for you.
That's the truth.
You've moved on. You have other friends. You are a mother, a wife, an important person in the world. Mm-hmm. Don't let her bring you down.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. But she asked us, how can she make peace with this in her own mind? I think you haven't been taking note of your own qualities enough and being very conscious about how she's treated you in the past. And that's why you can't make peace with it. It's not that you want her back. It's not that you feel, I mean, you may feel guilty about not being her friend, but I think that's part of the toxic dynamic that you've had going on for, you know, these 30 years. I think you need to be more conscious about who she is, how she's treated you, and how, as Kristen says, how that will reflect on your child, your children, and how that will damage you emotionally, because it will. You have a great job. You have a great life with a great husband. You've made a great family for yourself. And having someone come into your life at this point and making you feel less than because you don't have this or you're not part of her glamorousness is only going to eat at you emotionally. So you don't need that in your life. Take note of that. It's very important.
Yeah. So every time you start to obsess about her and like, why wasn't she a better friend? And, you know, but what about the time when we were so close? Every time you do that, I think you have to remind yourself, and she didn't want a selfie with me.
Right.
And she was willing to get drunk and drive me home with my baby.
Right.
And, you know, she has disrespected my job and my education and the grit and determination that I've shown.
Yeah.
So you keep telling yourself, you keep reminding yourself that there are reasons that this ended. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're still going to think about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And you're going to bore your other friends talking about it as I did. And, and then it will fade away.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm thinking of this friend I had in childhood and I wrote a blog about it, recently. If you're interested, Seeking Peace, it's called My First Worst Best Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically the first time I had a best friend and all the things that we did together and how much I loved our friendship. And then how many times she kept showing me that I wasn't important, that I was basically a security blanket when she needed one. And then when she didn't need the security, she just kind of tossed me aside. She showed me over and over and over, and I just didn't get it, because when we were 12, we rode our bikes together, you know, up on Cape Cod and slept over each other's houses. And because, you know, I spent so much time with her and her boyfriend in high school. Well, it turns out I was their chaperone and, you know, you know, it took me a long time to realize she's just not that into me.
Yeah.
She's telling me through her actions that she just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I'm just not paying attention because we've known each other since we were five, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I finally realized, like, I don't think I was ever her friend.
Right.
I think it was just useful.
Yeah.
That's when I started to realize, like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a good feeling to think like someone didn't like you and love you. And I have to say, you know, there were times when she was wonderful, just as I'm sure there are times that Tanya was wonderful. Those times, you know, they don't make up for that crappy foundation.
They don't.
You know?
They don't make up for bad treatment at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't make up for bad treatment.
And
so I would also say that when Tanya comes to Canada, because it seems that she is, now is the time for you to come up with a strategy.
Is everything okay, Joss? Did you just fall on your house?
Something in the kitchen. I'm sure it's fine. The dog is here. It's fine.
Okay.
I think now would be the time for you to come up with a good strategy of how you're going to deal with her when you see her in person. You already know your husband doesn't like her, so he is on your side.
Yeah.
So now is the time for you to learn how to say no when she wants to use you to meet new friends, or she wants you to do something really outrageous, like throw her a party, or because I could see her doing that. She asked for a $3,000 diaper bag, so why not?
Yeah, you know that. You know, I agree with Jess. Be prepared for all that she's going to ask you. If say you both live in Montreal,
yeah,
she's going to say, well, we're, you know, like, will you come shopping for a house with me? And say, you know, I wish I could. I'm sorry, I'm not available. But here's a link to, you know, realtor.com Montreal.
Yes, yes.
There you go. Yeah. You know, and just kind of show her, like, I'm busy. I have a life. I have a child, or, you know, two, or I don't know how many you have now. But, and you're just not that, you're not going to fit into my space.
Right. These are boundaries that you've got to put up now so she doesn't take advantage of you when she gets to Canada.
Right. But we're best friends. I mean, I can't believe you're doing this to me. We've been friends since we were kids. You can say we were friends as children, but, you know, the past 5-10 years have really shown me that we've grown apart, and I will always cherish those childhood memories, but I don't think if we met today that we would be friends.
Right. Yeah.
Boom.
I think that's important. Just like that. And remember, your husband is supporting you in this because he doesn't like her. So it's, you know, you can absolutely do this, set those boundaries, say no more often than yes. Don't be available. Don't make space for her in your life, because once you do, she then squeezes in and takes up time without giving anything back. There's no reciprocation. So
I would, I'm going to make a guess here. you're Indian, you're both Indian. And, and I know that, you know, like family bonds are so important. And, if there is some sort of like obligation that you have, if she's, you know, your auntie's neighbor's daughter and your auntie's going to call you up and say, I can't believe you're not seeing Tanya, you know, you're breaking my heart and whatever. If there's anything like that, that might happen, then I would say, Tanya, I am free for coffee on the 27th at 10 a.m. Would love to see you. I have an hour.
Yes.
So you can say, I'll see you at this time at the place of my choosing. And at 11, I have to leave.
At 11.
Yeah. So, and I'm only saying that, like, if there is going to be ramifications of you ditching Tanya outside of just you and Tanya, and you feel like, oh, my parents would kill me if I didn't see Tanya in Montreal, you know, if there's some sort of that, if you are attached to her in some way that has to be maintained a little, make it very clear, this is the time. This is the place. I'm not going to throw you a house party, but I will meet you for coffee. And if you're looking for, you know, places to shop and eat and whatever, say, we'll go to Montreal.com. It's really full of interesting recommendations. I'm sure you can find from there. Right.
Yeah. I like the time limit. Make sure you get up and leave at 11, like set a timer on your phone.
Set your phone and say, oh gosh, we've got to run, babysitter, soccer practice, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
But it's part of what Joss was saying about boundaries. You know, you pick the time, you pick the duration. And if you have to be polite in this way, be polite and no more.
Yeah.
Don't overshare your own personal life. Don't be tricked into thinking that she cares.
Right.
No matter what she says, because she'll need you when she first moves in, and she'll probably put on the charm.
Right. No, she will.
And she might even give you like a hard luck story. I'm sorry I've been so distant lately. I've been going through so much.
Yes. And
that says to her that, I mean, that says to you that it's all about her again.
Yes.
I'm sorry I've ignored you and hurt your feelings these past 5 years.
Yeah.
But I get out of it because of me and my problems.
That's
so at that point, you could just say,
I'm sorry you had such
a hard time.
Sorry you had such a hard time. Oh, I do have to run.
Yeah. Best of luck. Enjoy Montreal. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And goodbye.
We have no tolerance for these kind of friends.
It's awesome. No reciprocation. It's a user. It's a bunch of problems we talked about in Crappy Friends, the book, all in one. She sounds like a real winner, this chick.
Yeah. And if you haven't already, Seeking Peace, we do recommend buying the book, Crappy Friends, because it goes into these situations and scenarios, our personal experiences, letter writers. You're not alone.
No.
So make sure that you know that this happens to most of us.
Yeah.
And it's not a character flaw that you have stayed friends with her for so long. Mm-hmm. It's not... It doesn't mean that you can't read people or you have poor judgment. It just means that you're like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Happens to all of us at some point or another.
Yes, it does.
So I hope that you find the piece you're looking for. And we would really love to hear back from you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a fascinating situation.
Right.
And just don't get drawn into it. It is interesting, but you don't need that kind of drama in your life. You know, so many times people put up with Tanya's because they're interesting and glamorous and wealthy and just interesting. And then you learn that like contentment is so much more valuable than intrigue or drama.
Right.
You know, it might not be as fun to share with your friends like, oh, you know, I saw Tanya and she was in one of those moods and, you know, but being able to say like, yeah, I've had a really good week, you know, the baby's doing well and so on and so forth. It's so much better for your soul.
Yes, I agree. I was thinking too, if your family is anything like mine, my family is Jamaican. than if someone like Tanya came to the States to live. There would be things where we would see each other all over the place, and it would be uncomfortable. There would also be people who found her wealth very, as if it were something that would garner her instant respect. And so the fact that you're not sort of seduced anymore by her wealth might be seen as something that people see like, well, look at all she has. You should be treating her this way, or you should offer to do this for her that way. And I want to remind you that it's not just your own emotional baggage that you have to sort of stand up to. I mean, it's probably going to be people in your community, friends and other people, who see her as this new, rich, fabulous thing. And why haven't you done this with her? Or why haven't you done that with her? And so you'll have to like maintain your boundaries through all of that. I would say to lean on your husband and see what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I regret about not having a husband is when I don't want to do something, I can't just say, well, my husband doesn't like that. Which I think is an awesome excuse. I think it's fantastic. Get, like
a husband pillow or something. I know.
But I think it's an awesome excuse. I think it's fantastic. My cousin. Yeah. Also, I should have had kids in order to say, I'm sorry, I have to go. My kids are waiting or like that. That's a great excuse, which I don't have.
So. Yeah. I think, you know, also you probably owe your husband a little apology.
Yeah. Yes.
To say, you know, you said you snapped at him and overjudged without knowing her and your friendship, but he saw very clearly, probably because he doesn't have a history with her.
Right.
Exactly who she was. Yes. And, you know, your husband loves you and has made a commitment to you and wants the best for you. And it's time to go give him a big smooch and say, honey, you know what? I think you're exactly right about Tanya. And I'm sorry I snapped at you. It's just kind of a raw spot right now.
Yes.
You were right.
Yeah.
Thank you for looking out for me. Thank you for having my back.
Yeah.
It definitely happens to us all. So
the best of us, it does. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. We're sending you a big hug, seeking peace, and we hope you find it really soon. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.